Hello, I'm Matthew Bishop, the host of this series of podcasts about circular infrastructure in partnership with Vauban. Infrastructure has been a major source of carbon emissions and waste over many years. If we are to have a low carbon, low waste circular economy, it's essential that infrastructure transitions from the traditional linear model in which resources are extracted, used, and then discarded to a circular model that puts low waste, recycling, and environmental sustainability at its heart. In this podcast, the conversation will focus on the telecoms infrastructure, one of the fastest growing foundations of our modern economy, which is expected to increase in size by 60% by 2040. On current trends, that will result in greater production and increasing electronic waste. According to the World Economic Forum, 57.4 million tons of e-waste were generated in 2021, with only 20% recycled. So in this podcast, we'll ask, how can telco operators address and leverage the circular economy revolution? Our expert guests to discuss this important topic are Benoît Dourletin, CEO of Bouygues Telecom, Sergio Osle, CEO of Telefónica in Spain, and Dr. Paul Eakins at the University College London Institute for Sustainable Resources. I'm going to kick off by asking Paul to set the scene for us. Paul, broadly speaking, how's the transition to a circular economy going, and how far along in the transition is the telecoms infrastructure sector in particular?
Well, thanks, Matthew. And in answer to your questions, the circular economy transition is not going along anything like fast enough. There's a lot of talk about it, and of course, talk is good, because if you don't talk about things, you can't possibly deliver anything. But it's got to start accelerating well beyond talk. The issues are really two, in that having the kind of linear economy that you described at the beginning means that we dig up a whole heap of resources. And for some of those, there are scarcity issues. There are geological or geopolitical scarcity issues. For the telecom sector particularly, we're talking about copper, and we're talking about a lot of other more specialist metals that hitherto have not been produced in huge quantities, but which will need to be as we electrify practically everything in sight. And then, of course, there's the waste angle, which is that if we simply take these resources, use them for a relatively short time in the economy and then throw them away, well, as you said, we end up with mountains of waste. Very often that is not properly managed. And very often, with regard to telecommunications equipment, it's managed in ways that causes considerable pollution, especially in developing countries, and very bad health problems, particularly for children. So these are urgent problems. They're already disrupting people's lives now. And all the forecasts for resource use and waste generation point upwards in a rather alarming way. So we've increased our use of resources globally by a factor of three since 1970, and it's due to double again by 2060 on current trends. And that's what the circular economy transition is aiming to change.
So it's quite a challenge, Benoît. How high is this on your agenda as a telcos industry?
You see, my opinion is that today, for our company, to have a strategy to reduce impact on environments, to have a strategy to reduce carbon emissions more globally, to have, let's say, a responsible way of doing our business, I think it's no longer an option. It has to be part of our strategy.
Sergio, do you share that view? Do you see the circular mindset taking hold in the telco sector? And how far has this gone from talk to action?
Yeah, I would say that as an industry, the telco industry is taking this very, very seriously, and it goes beyond just empty ambitions. I mean, you need ambitions, obviously. We have, in the case of Telefónica, for instance, we have already announced our objective of zero waste by 2030, and we have already committed ourselves to very specific goals. For instance, we have already announced that we will all of our clients will be fiber-based starting next year. We're almost there. And that will generate huge savings and efficiencies and reduce the waste from the copper network quite significantly. We have already also announced that we are going to recycle 100% of our network equipment by 2025. We're almost there already at 2023, but in 2 years, all of our equipment will be reused. So we do have some ambitions set out there, but I would also say that as an industry, there are already some actions that we've been taking for a few years now. And part of the reason why we do that, as Benoit was mentioning, is because this is a demand for our customers. This is something also that we feel like we need to do. But there is also significant economic incentive to do it. I mean, probably the easiest example would be the reusing of our customer equipment. This is something that, as an industry, we've been doing for a long time. If you look at the case of Telefónica in Spain, for instance, we've already reused more than 1.2 million set-top boxes and routers by this year. And this is just in Spain. If you take that number globally, that number for all of our telephonic operations, that's close to 4 million. And we're also reusing a lot of network equipment. And again, this is good for the planet, but it's also good for from an economic point of view. We even have internally, as part of the Telefónica group, we have a program that is called the Maya program, in which we try to reuse all of different kind of equipments across our different operations. So it may very well happen that we have a piece of network equipment here in Spain that we don't need it anymore, or for whatever the reason, and we input it into that program that we have internally, and that equipment could be reused in our operations in Chile. And again, I mean, I think that as an industry, with all of us, we've been pushing this idea forward for quite a few years already.
Benoit, can you tell us a bit about the initiative you're taking to avoid overconsumption and also other waste in the network?
Yeah, so first of all, we have announced our global goal in carbon reduction. We have announced to reduce 50% of Scope 1 and 2 in 2030, and 30% of Scope 3. And of course, it is the Scope 3, which is the main challenge for us. So we have launched several actions. For example, for customers, now for almost 10 years, we have recycling strategies for the smartphone of our customers. That means it is today completely integrated in our commercial process. When a customer wants to buy a new smartphone, we offer him to buy back his old phone. And so we put his old phone in a recycling process with a specific partner we have in France, which is a major company in the recycling business in France. And so, for example, last year, we have buyback recycled about 300,000 smartphones from our customers. And we do this for about 10 years now. So that's the first big part of our recycling strategy. So on the other part, we also sell recycled secondhand smartphones with a lower amount today, but we begin to see that customers are willing to buy secondhand smartphones, or customers also are having their smartphone a longer time. They keep longer the smartphones. And in fact, third actions, we are encouraging our customers to repair their smartphones instead of buying a new one. Since now in 3 years, we have launched a specific program. We give a specific advantage to our customers if they want to repair their phones instead of changing their smartphones. We offer them a discount, the repair charges. Also with a partnership with a company which has hundreds of repair shops in France. So that's for the smartphones part. As Sergio says, for the routers and setup boxes part, in fact, it is part of the business model of the broadband access business to recycle, refurbish our boxes. And up today, we have refurbished and reused more than 2 million setup boxes and routers. That's totally integrated in the business model, in fact, in the broadband offers. That's important. The third part is about the network equipment. On that part, I must say, we are perhaps less advanced. because the reuse network, you know, we are French company, only France. So we cannot reuse our network pieces in other countries. We have to reuse in our own countries. So we are doing this. But today we are not 100% reuse of network equipment. We are about 75% of reuse equipment because we continue to grow in rural areas, our network. So when you have to change some pieces of network in the dense areas, we reuse them in the rural areas to extend our network. That's, let's say, the main initiatives we have in a circular economy. Smartphones, routers, set-top box, and network equipment.
Paul, sounds like there's some progress being made. Do you find that convincing? And what do you think are the should be the priorities for these telco infrastructure operators?
Well, of course, it's great hearing that. And obviously, lots of thought strategic effort has gone into it. But I'm left with several questions, really, not so much about the two particular companies that we're talking to today. But I often hear from companies, and we've heard from both Sergio and Benoit, that this makes economic sense or financial sense, business sense, to do it like this. And yet, the numbers that you gave at the beginning show that actually, you know, not only does not everyone do it, but very relatively few people do it, with the result that the mountains of waste continue to grow. So that's a bit of a conundrum to me as an economist. I think to myself, well, you know, if it makes such good business sense, what's happening, what's going on out there? That it's not becoming absolutely mainstream. And the kinds of strategies that we've been hearing about are still relatively rare. And there are really, it seems to me that there are three sets of issues which do act as roadblocks on this. And I'd be very interested to hear how Sergio and Benoit are challenging this. I mean, the first is the issue of design. I think we all know that the key to be using and repairing, the key to be reusing and repairing equipment of all kinds is to get the design right so that you can actually replace the bits that go wrong. And you don't have to replace the entire product every time. The second thing are obviously logistics and collection systems, which for consumer-facing companies, I mean, are really, really difficult. I mean, I speak myself from the UK. If you have a piece of electronic equipment that goes wrong, you know, you've got to take it somewhere. You have no idea what happens to it. It's a nuisance. You find lots of this stuff littering all over the place. So the collection logistics is difficult, and I suspect it's also expensive. And then the third thing which we touched on is the whole issue of supply chains, which is that unless the economic incentive is very strong, supply chains will do what supply chains do, and very often what the supply chains do does not make life terribly easy for dealing with products at the end of their lives. And of course, for minerals and metals in particular, we have a very commoditized supply chain, so that it's rather difficult to tell the difference between a ton of copper, which has been produced in a responsible kind of way, with renewable energy and with minimum impact at the mining stage, and a ton of copper that has come from a place that has caused very severe environmental impacts. So those kinds of three issues, design, collection, and the whole supply chain, value chain, transparency issue, still seems to me to require a lot of sorting out, and I'd be fascinated to hear more details.
So Sergio, just tell us how you respond to those three areas, particularly. Yeah. Why don't we separate out the design and collection and then talk separately about the supply chain issue?
Yeah, I think Paul was very spot on the issues that we face when we try to push the circular economy. I would say in the end, also as Paul was mentioning, I mean, of course, obviously, we all want to do better for the world, and we all try to push policies that are better for the planet. And part of that, we ensure that through our procurement policies. But in addition to that, in order to push this forward to a significant level, you really need to make sure that it makes economic sense. And the good news is that if you put enough focus to it, there is a lot of economic value to be generated through recycling and reusing. And You just need to make sure that the process in which you can make this a reality is efficient enough to generate enough value. And yes, I mean, the best example possibly could be something that both Benoit and myself have talked about and is a standard practice in the industry now, which is the reusing of the set-top boxes or routers. We are talking about a piece of equipment that can have a cost of, I don't know, it depends on the actual set-top box, but it could be somewhere around 40 euros, 50 euros. And it still it makes a lot of economic sense for operators like us to collect it from the premises of the customers, to reset it and to reutilize it. And we generate economic value through that because we've built a process that is efficient enough to make that valuable. And we are, as an industry, for instance, now we are pushing forward very aggressively, I would say, the refurbishment of the reuse of handsets. And many of the challenges that Paul was mentioning were there, or are still there. How do you make that profitable and viable? You need to collect it. You need to make sure that the handset still works. And you need to reset it and just and also be able to resell it. But we're finding processes and ways to make that a reality and to make that viable. And I think as we as us managers in the industry, we put more focus into how making this a reality, how to make this economically viable, we will enter into new areas. And because it's also, again, it's an economic need. And we are in an industry where what we produce, kind of, which is the communication or the means to transport data, it's something that has a huge increase in demand. Over the past few years, the transport for data has been increased by over 5 times. And we need to find ways to make that sustainable, also from an economic point of view, because we cannot, unless we reuse, unless we find ways to make that more efficient from an energy point of view and so on and so forth, we will not be able to offer something that is attractive for our customers.
Benoit, just to pick up on the point that Paul made about the supply chain, it does seem like there's growing scrutiny about supply chain challenges. How do you do ethical sourcing of metals and other raw materials, and also the growing concern that as the world becomes more geopolitically divided, that the challenges for companies in their supply chains are only going to get more difficult. How does this all fit in for you?
Globally speaking, we rely deeply on our suppliers in what we buy. So the problem of raw materials, the problem of global supply chains is handled by our suppliers, network equipment suppliers, smartphone suppliers. And so, in fact, we have to put pressure on these suppliers to the fact that themselves, they have some clear strategy in carbon reduction, in carbon impact, and so on. But it's mainly through our suppliers that we can address these problems by putting pressure on them. And they are convinced also, but they adapt their strategy specifically for countries of operators that are really have a clear strategy for this. As Paul said, we have two examples today, Bouygues Telecom and Telefonica, which make great actions about all this, but not all operators are doing this. I think there are differences between countries and between continents. I think in Europe, we have pressure to do this. We are making many things about this that it doesn't happen in other parts of the world. So that's, frankly speaking, what we see. Just to come back about and design and logistics, I completely agree that the design of the product has a major impact of the capacity of recycling and have a circularity on this product. And as Sergio says about the routers, 10 years ago, we had routers that was not had a good design for reusing them. It was a pain to reuse them. Then we made some progress in design of the router, not only to be able to reuse them, but also to be able to upgrade them. Because you know, in the router, you have generations of routers, generation of Wi-Fi, for example, Wi-Fi 5, 6, 6E, and so on. And so we have made the design of the router so that it is easy not only to reuse it, but also to upgrade it.
So the industry body for your telco operators, the GSMA, seems to be taking a lead on circularity. It's published a couple of strategy papers for the circular economy, including one on network equipment. And Sergio, one of the themes of that paper is that there's almost like too much network capacity and that there should be an effort to do more sharing and to mutualize the network equipment so that we can reduce waste that way. How do you feel about that? Is that something that people are beginning to explore?
Yeah, I would say so. And again, it makes sense from a waste perspective, but also from an economic perspective. I think that the industry has already been very ambitious at sharing parts of the network. I think that the part where we have advanced the most is in the passive infrastructure space. So a lot of initiatives have already taken place regarding towers, fiber, for instance, especially in rural areas, and now it would seem that we would need to take it a step forward and go into some kind of a active RAN sharing, for instance, for the mobile operation. Of course, there's a lot of things. Active RAN sharing is fairly wide, so there's many different things that we could do as operators. We could do some sharing of the core network or the radio access network itself. Sometimes we could share a spectrum. Some of the times maybe we couldn't. There are maybe a couple of things that we have to take into consideration to see how much we can push forward this sharing. One has to do with the technology limitations. This more active sharing works quite well in more rural areas or areas that are very scarcely populated or low density of population. As you try to, let's say, share some part of the network among, for instance, three different operators, and you go into more highly populated areas, the technology might not be quite there yet to make sure that it can handle all of the traffic. So there's some things that need to happen from a technology point of view. But we also have to take into consideration regulatory issues, because there is always this, let's say, balance, no, between how do you make something more efficient and the impact that it may have on competition as you start sharing among different competitors. We strongly believe that there is ways, and we have explored that, and we should be more aggressive in trying to explore ways in which we can work together, all of the different operators, to ensure that we don't do silly things when it comes to waste. But at the same time, we also have to do it in a way that is responsible and ensures competition. And the regulatory bodies, I'm sure that will be very, very keen to ensure that that is what's going to happen going forward.
Does that pressure from the regulator to maintain competition feel like a real constraint?
Well, I mean, to a certain extent. But again, I think it's not the only constraint that we have. And I think that we'll probably say that some of that constraints are there for good reason. But because, again, we have to be careful as to what it is. We still need to compete. And I think we're all learning what it is to have some responsible use of our resources together, and what it is to ensure competition. I would claim that in certain areas, for instance, in Spain, we may have too many fixed networks, and that is something that maybe we could have done differently. But it's also, I think, it's a way to ensure competition, and so that's the fine balance that we have to strike as a society.
Paul, I mean, what do you feel is reasonable to expect from the telco networks in terms of cooperation? And I think there's this, if we look at other industries, there's a lot of talk about where do you do co-opetition? You know, where can you collaborate in a pre-competitive space, and where do you draw the line where you have to then start competing as hard as you can? I mean, what can we learn and what can we expect?
Well, I'm terribly struck that both Sergio and Benoit obviously, you know, have this as a core part of their business strategy as opposed to environment, social governance, and all that kind of stuff. And obviously that's where it's got to be if this is going to become mainstream. But as often happens in discussions like this, we find ourselves talking to the leaders who somehow can make it work. But there's a long tail of people out there who are not making it economic and who are simply externalizing these costs onto society as a whole. And the regulator needs to pick that up and make sure that best practice becomes generalized across the sector so that it becomes easier for the sector to make money doing these things. And it becomes even more profitable for people like Benoit and Sergio to do them. And until that happens, I'm afraid it's going to remain a kind of rather niche activity for people who are really innovative and smart in this area. But there will be quite a lot of businesses out there that don't pick it up and act as a drag on the whole move towards circularity.
And broadly speaking, I mean, obviously, again, it's very hard to make generalizations, but do you feel that the circular economy is now on the agenda of leading regulators around the world? How do they promote circularity, or is it still regulators behind even the industry?
I think it differs enormously country by country. I very much welcome the push that we're getting from the European Union in this area, and I think they are raising the stakes. In my own country, in the UK, I find that we're in great danger of falling behind. We can't even introduce a deposit refund scheme in this country, it seems, although 10 European countries have them and they seem to work perfectly well. So I think there's a lot of variety out there, a variety in different companies, in different sectors, in different regulatory systems. And what is absolutely essential is that we learn from what works and introduce those things in a way that it does work and a way that accelerates the whole process.
So I want to pick up on this theme fundamentally about the business model and how it can change to put circularity at its heart. And I'll start with you, Sergio. I mean, what are the things that you had to do? What was the mindset? What was the culture change that had to happen both at the top of your company and throughout the workforce to really start seeing circularity as a business opportunity? And then I'll also ask you, both you and Benoit, to talk about what the regulators might do to encourage this shift as well.
Yeah, I think that in the end, I mean, and if I'm being very, very honest here, I don't think we have... So the way that we have, I don't know about you, Benoit, but the way that we went through it is not so much, okay, what should be our strategy or circularity? It didn't work that way. So we needed to think specifically about that and then come up with ideas. The truth of the fact for an industry like us is that we are an industry where like two things typically happen, which is we offer something to our customers that is in great demand, and that demand only increases. So we need to find ways to respond to that demand in an efficient way. And that would mean looking for technologies that enables us to, in our case, communicate larger amounts of data in a more efficient way. I mean, most of our telco operators are usually amongst the largest energy consumers in our countries. We just couldn't hope to maintain our business model if the rate of increase of data consumption would translate linearly to energy consumption. So we need to be innovative in the way that we use technology for that. And we're also an industry in which we use a lot of equipment, both from our network side, but also on the customer side, and so on and so forth. We use that. We invest a lot of CapEx, and then we provide a service on top of that. So again, in order to become competitive, we need to find ways to make sure that that's very efficient, because we're also changing and progressing in our technologies because of the reasons that I mentioned before. So it used to be dial-up, then it was DSL on copper, now it's fiber. It used to be 2G on mobile, now it's 5G. So how do we make sure that we get into the latest equipment, but at the same time we do it in a very efficient way? So one very natural way to capture significant efficiencies is trying to reuse as much of our equipment as possible. And so that's very, very honestly, that's the way we approach it. There is obviously also some initiatives that we embark on that have to do with, you know, doing the right thing and making sure, and typically some of the things that Paul was mentioning and Benoit as well. I mean, I think many of us, we have very strict guidelines along our supply chain to ensure that the vendors do the right things and they source their equipment in the right way. But many of the things that we do, I mean, another example, I mean, we as I mentioned before, we're shutting down our whole copper network. So next year, if you ever come over to Spain and you want to have a broadband connectivity, it's only going to be fiber. I mean, that's the case actually almost today. I mean, it's very, very strange that we'll provide you with a fixed broadband connection that's based on copper. That's very, very minimal. We've been reselling that copper for years now. And yes, that is good for the environment, obviously, but we came up together with some partners with processes to extract that copper and to make it very, very valuable for us. We actually keep talking about our copper mine that we have. We do have a copper mine. And again, we do it because it makes a lot of sense for the environment. We do it because it's a way to reduce waste. But we also do it because it generates a very significant amount of value for us. So that's the way that we think about this kind of issues in our board.
Benoit, does that experience chime with you? Is that how it happened? Or did you have a more deliberate strategy in a way that wasn't just about maximizing efficiency? And maybe you talk also about the regulatory, what the regulators could do to help.
I don't think that, excuse me, but the regulatory has a major effect on this. It's not a regulatory subject to force to recycle or to force to. It's an economic subject. When the parameters are aligned and they are today, so the company are making the good choice to go in that recycling strategy. I'm sure it is more and more obvious that it is coherent. It is aligned with a business model we must have, with the economic parameters and with the recycling strategy parameters. It's more and more aligned. You see, for example, I talked about the reuse of set-top boxes and routers and so on. To a certain point, we have come to also to in fact to make the set-top box disappear. That's the best way not to have raw material to reuse is to have no set-top box. And we have developed and launched a dematerialized set-top box. That is, we have no more set-top box for one of our offer. We have an app on the TV. So there's no more set-top box. That's the best way. And it is completely good for business, for economic, and it's good for the customer, and it's good for the material. So that's okay. That's the company are working like this, and it's normal. But it's totally in the same way.
So we're unfortunately almost out of time. So I'm going to ask each of our guests to peer a bit into the future, the next 5 to 10 years, and ask each of them, you know, what is the biggest opportunity for this sector, the telco network, and what is the biggest challenge in moving to a more circular model? And I'm going to start with you, Sergio, and then Benoit, and then we'll finish with Paul, maybe setting it in the context of the broader move we hope to see towards a circular economy.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, looking forward, many of the things that we have discussed about will only continue to become more and more important. We've talked about network equipment and how to reuse that. Network sharing, as technologies progresses, we will be able to do more of that together. Many of the things that we have discussed will continue to become more and more important. Maybe I would like to add something that maybe we haven't touched upon, which is when you look at us, when you look at the telco industry, the weight of our responsibility across all of the global emissions is not that high, I would say, but we have a huge responsibility of ensuring that all of the waste reduction driven by digitalization occurs. And this is something because in the end, I mean, the impact that becoming more digital is already having across all different industries and will continue to have going forward is huge. And telcos are in the center of it. And we need to make sure that we provide those services and that connectivity to make that happen. Many of the new technologies that we're all deploying are going in that direction. Like, for instance, if you look at 5G, 5G is a great technology because it's the first, let's say, native mobile technology that enables to connect things rather than people. Well, it connects people as well, but it's also it's mostly the advantage comes around connecting things, and that will enable many different things to happen. One of them, for instance, is making the industrial processes more efficient. That would also reduce waste. And that technology itself is much more efficient than previous mobile technologies. So I think one of the biggest opportunities for our industry is not so much within our industry, which of course we will tackle that, but also as a core enabler of waste reduction across all different industries.
Great. Benoit.
Well, you see, of course, completely agree with what Sergio said. I'll just add finally one thing, one great challenge we have. I said before, we rely mostly on our suppliers and on our vendors. And you must admit that the objectives of the goals of recycling, reusing, it's not completely aligned with the vendor strategy. A vendor strategy is trying to sell new equipments, new smartphones. Or that is strategy. So that's the main challenge we have. Can we come to a point that our vendor, so the big company of network equipment or smartphone equipment themselves, come to a point so that they make products that are longer life, that can be easily recycled, and so. And today, we must admit, it's not completely the case. That's the main challenge. If we want the telco operators to go further in the recycling, okay, so we are making many actions, and we'll make more and more. But to one point, it's not possible to go further if the vendors themselves change their strategy, in fact, change perhaps their business models. So that they don't rely only on selling new products and new equipment. That's the biggest challenge, I think, if we want to go further.
So, Paul, lots of positive talk here from our CEOs from the telco networks, but also some challenges. What's your big takeaway as to what the biggest opportunity is here and the biggest challenge?
Well, I think we've still got lots of challenges. Obviously, I'm delighted to hear the positive talk, and I'm very impressed with both the ambitions and the achievements of the other two guests from business. But I'm left with this paradox that so many companies now are seriously addressing carbon emission reduction, for example, and yet globally carbon emissions keep rising. Similarly, so many companies talking a good talk on circular economy and doing lots of stuff, and yet we still have these projections of waste of telecommunications equipment and everything else that are continuing to grow. And certainly some of the products, it will make immediate business sense. I mean, copper is an obvious example that Sergio has mentioned. But there's lots of telecommunication materials perhaps that are not so easy to reclaim, recycle, reuse. I mean, some of the plastics involved, for example, which can be much, much more difficult. And that all those thoughts lead me back to the fact that I don't think we can rely on the leaders to take the whole market in this direction. I think the policymakers have an absolutely enormous task and responsibility to ensure that that becomes the normal way in which markets work. Policymakers have a responsibility to make sure that markets work in the social interest as well as in the private interest. And as we see from the environmental impacts all around the world, by and large, they're not doing that. I'm an environmental economist, and the word that we hear right from day one is the externality, that too many businesses are creating environmental costs and resource waste, which either are not paid for by anyone particular, or they're paid in terms of people's health and people's environments. So there is an enormous policymaking challenge here, as well as the kind of innovation and search for new business models that businesses need. So what I want is for policymakers to make the life of people like Sergio and Benoit much easier in order to make this, you know, absolutely the way in which they will create value. And that will involve putting pressure on their suppliers. I'm a great fan of extended producer responsibility, for example, whereby people who put materials onto the market basically continue to have responsibility for those materials at the end of their lives, so that they have to give incentives to consumers or the businesses that take them actually to get them back so that they can make best use of those materials later on. And there is, as Benoit said, still much too much built-in obsolescence, the desire of people to sell more and more. We are slowly moving away from that with things like the right to repair legislation that is now being introduced in many European countries. But it's very slow, and in my view, it doesn't go anything like far or fast enough.
Well, what a fascinating conversation. I think it's left me with a very clear impression that the challenges are big, but some of the industry leaders are really asking the right questions and doing some important things, but there's an awful lot more talking and an awful lot more action that's going to be needed if we're going to see the transition to circular infrastructure for our telco sector that is needed. I'd like to thank our expert guests, Benoit Tourtin, CEO of Bouygues Telecom. Benoit, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Sergio Osley, CEO of Telefónica in Spain. Sergio, thank you.
It was my pleasure.
And Dr. Paul Eakins at the University College London Institute for Sustainable Resources. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much for joining us.